Do you like the Star Wars? Well, you've come to the right place because this is the Rantcore Pit, and this is your host, Jedi Cole Houston, along, as always, with my dinner companion for the evening.
I'm Eddie Medina, and we have yet another dinner companion.
Yes.
Someone who has actually joined us on a past episode of the Rantcore Pit, the Alcon episode, the special pre-recorded show.
Indeed.
And that would be the Star Wars food expert himself, Mr. Warren. Warren, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Oh, welcome. And if you're wondering why we're talking about having dining companions and you're listening to an audio show, this is going to be kind of like, if you'll take by way of example, the theater of the mind. This will be kind of the restaurant of the mind. And... You're gonna go away hungry on this one, because this is Force Feeding, where we talk about all things Star Wars food and food premiums, food tie-ins, and other anything that is, was, or was connected in any way to edibles, drinkables, and what have you.
Speaking of which, I have my tall glass of cold blue milk with me tonight.
Oh, naturally. Oh. Why wouldn't you?
I'll be sipping from that all night long.
Because if you've watched the Rancor Pit Live, our sister show over at deepelementair.com, you would know that one of the things that we give guests of the Rancor Pit Live is an autographed box of Star Wars fruit gummies or Star Wars Angry Birds fruit gummies, depending on what I managed to find for $1 a box. Yeah, we don't put a lot of money into our guest gifts, but we at least we give them.
So
it seemed only natural that we talk about, you know, what other kinds of edibles. And I remember, you know, buying like Star Wars candy, like the head candy heads that had the little plastic heads with the candy in them from Tops.
Oh yeah.
But Warren, if you've seen from the flavor art this week, Warren is the custodian, if you will, the curator of a rather sizable collection of unique foodstuff related wrappers, containers, and even in some cases the actual foods themselves.
Yeah, I didn't even realize I had that much stuff until I started trying to put that photo together and realize how much I had. Yeah, and that picture, I lost count of how much was in there. I think a couple hundred items, and from like 9 different countries.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's fun about looking at that picture is you start to look around and you see some things that are not in English.
Yeah. Yeah, the stuff after the prequels came out, I mean, just everything started coming out worldwide, and it's pretty amazing how much stuff is really out there. When you start off with the vintage stuff, you know, it's mostly just in the U.S., just a few food items and, you know, a bunch of cereal promotions, fast food promotions.
Yeah, that's so true, because I think, like, overseas, from things I've seen in reference books, it's mostly, like, you know, some little boxes of Chalkies or sweets in Europe and Australia, and then the food premiums got outrageous.
Oh, yeah. As far as the vintage stuff, you, in England, you had like yogurt back in the 80s and, a few, fast food promotions. If you want to get really obscure, I think in Australia they had some, stickers that were available with, dog food, of all things.
Well, because dogs love Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. What dog doesn't want to collect Star Wars stickers with their food?
Yeah, especially Kelpies. They love their Star Wars.
I know the Malamutes are big on the Wookiees themselves, so...
That's so true.
Yeah. But, especially if they're named Indiana.
Yeah. Well, there's the connection. I had for a minute there, I was thinking that was quite a stretch, but...
Hey, Warren, you may remember this, because y'all are talking about the international stuff. I used to collect the Star Wars... Well, I do still have in my collection the Star Wars Pogs, and I remember back when...
Pogs.
I think it may have been when the special editions came out, Do you remember Tazos? It seemed like those were big food premiums in maybe Spain or something. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, they were available in a few different countries. I have ones from England that were a premium from Walker's, which is basically a Frito-Lay's slice.
Yeah, that's the British and Australian Lay's.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, there's three or four different sets of them out there, and they're pretty cool. Now in the U.S. they had when the special editions came out, they had those lenticular pogs and cards that came with the chips, Doritos, and Lay's and stuff.
Yeah, I actually have some of those too.
I have a card of some kind. I think it may be like either a game card or just a general trading card.
Yeah.
That's rather small and, you know, unusual dimensions. That was out of a bag of in Mexico, Sabritos. I bought some chips when
Sabritos or something like that.
Yeah, when we were in Cozumel or I bought some really good chips, because it seems like the Frito-Lay licensees in other countries come out with the best flavors.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
And now you can thankfully get them here, but it was marketed in Mexico as the queso ruffles.
Mm-hmm. Oh nice.
And I was very happy when they started appearing here in Texas, but there was a little card of a Clone Wars character. Mm-hmm. And of course, with my luck, I get like some really obscure background bounty hunter character or some henchman type or something like that. I don't get anybody exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I'm actually not familiar with that line of cards.
I'll have to see if I can find that. I think I recently came across it and stuck it on the wall in the studio somewhere, but I couldn't tell you where it is now.
Yeah, I know when Episode 1 was hitting big and Taco Bell was doing their little game thing, they were giving out these little things that were, I guess they were kind of like Pogs, weren't they? There was like little discs, cardboard discs.
Yeah.
As part of their gaming thing.
I remember that. You had the little game boards. You could pretend like there was any chance in hell you were ever going to get all those pieces.
Pretty much.
When you got one Jar Jar after another.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, yeah, let's see. Kind of like Monopoly, you had to collect them all to get the set, and there's 3 million Jar Jars, but the one you need, they only made one of, so you actually can't get a complete set of them because some of them don't exist.
Oh,
yeah.
So
that's a good way to stack the deck against winning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or just
there's
don't
one
make
out
the card.
There that
yeah.
will never ever be found. So,
yeah, somebody who didn't care wound up with the one piece that.
So I've actually got a few of those off eBay a couple months ago, and I'm trying to collect the instant win ones. There's probably about maybe 15 or so different instant wins, ranging from like a free taco, all the way up to more expensive prizes, and they can be kind of fun to track down.
I imagine, because like the ones like a free taco, that's the sort of thing that gets stuck in a wallet and forgotten, and 2 years later you're like, I'll just put the damn thing on eBay.
If that. Some people would just clean out their wallet and throw it away, not thinking anything of it. But, it was almost like when I went crazy, as I'm sure y'all did, trying to collect all the different cans of Pepsi.
I avoided it, but I know that it was one of those things where that was the thing Pepsi did in the U.S.
Yeah, and everybody was always trying to track down the gold Yoda can. Warren, do you happen to have that in your collection, the gold Yoda can?
I don't have a gold Yoda can, but I do have a, 3 foot tall inflatable gold Yoda can that would have hung from the ceiling of grocery stores.
That's actually cooler than
it is.
The gold Yoda can itself.
Yeah, I would say that is true. Yeah, the gold Yoda can is the only one I'm missing in my set of Pepsi cans. And that kind of set me off on, I got so obsessed with getting all of those cans. Every time the companies would come out with something that was mildly interesting, I would always have to collect all the cans. Now, with the Indiana Jones Dr. Pepper cans, that was a given. I had to get all the Skull ones.
Did you get all the Avengers cans for
who? Yeah, I was going to say all the Avengers, the Captain America line, all those cans that came out, Thor. Yeah, it's addicting. Just trying to get them all.
I was actually looking over some of the pieces in the collection, and I'm fascinated by the red and purple Darth Vader lollipops.
Oh, yeah. Candy collectibles are all over the place now, especially for the holidays. Following Revenge of the Sith, the gallery started putting out food collectibles. So every holiday, they've got it out there. Valentine's, Easter, Halloween,
Christmas. The more colorful, the more vibrant Vaders that you wouldn't normally...
Yeah, and they'll put out the same stuff, but they'll change the colors. So, you know, Valentine's will have, you know, your red and pink Vaders, and then for Halloween they'll put out, you know, like purple and green. And then they start branching out. They focus on a lot of candy stuff, containers, like candy tins or candy jars. But now they do like, hot cocoa that they sell with coffee mugs. So
I was given a couple of times some sets of coffee mugs with the hot cocoa, and I was rather bemused by the fact that the hot cocoa was merely a silver envelope of hot cocoa mix. Of course, for some reason you have to say hot when you can't just simply say cocoa mix. You have to say hot cocoa mix if you're me. But there was just a sticker. I mean, it wasn't like they went to the trouble of printing up an actual envelope for the mix. They just got some generic cocoa mix and just slapped this sticker on it.
Oh, wow.
They just said Star Wars. Like, oh, come on. You're not even trying. That's not even a real Star Wars.
Well, you know that's Lando's favorite.
Oh, that is so true.
Luke introduced him to
that. Oh, he did indeed. I guess there is a precedent for that.
That's as close as you'll get to buying real blue milk.
Yeah. Yeah, I always have to make my own every year at Alcon. But no one wants to have it with their breakfast cereal.
Hey, when you,
in my morning show.
It's funny, going into this episode, I knew I had a few things in my collection, but once we start talking about it, I start realizing how many items in my Star Wars collection are connected to food premiums or the fast food restaurants. Like, you know, I have a collection of the Pez dispensers, and that's a given. But then I realized, wait, I also have, like, the giant C-3PO Pez dispenser, too. You know, like the one that's, like, a foot tall.
Oh, it, yes.
When you really start thinking about it, it's amazing. Like you were saying, Warren, especially at the holidays now, you know, it's easy to get, like, a goblet of a Yoda goblet filled with candy, or a Darth Vader, little plush Darth Vader with either rabbit ears or a Santa cap, and he's inevitably holding a little bag of, like, really cheesy, like, you know, hard candy that you're never going to eat.
Right.
But, so yeah, it's funny how they've taken an imposing villain from movie history and just give him rabbit ears, and we eat it up because, oh my gosh, it's a...
Yeah, it's like, Happy Valentine's Day, and there's Vader. Like, what? I mean, you know, that's sort of like the ill-fated Hannibal Lecter Valentine's.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
With the little chocolate fava beans.
Hey, I'd buy that.
I would too, actually. Somebody work that out. I noticed also that I wasn't even aware of this, I guess, because I don't think to look for things like this. I saw amongst the collection the Burger King crown for the kids that was festooned with episode 3 characters.
Oh yeah. There's tons of stuff to collect from fast food, not just like the actual premiums that they gave away, but, you know, the packaging and the in-store signing, all kinds of stuff. The, of course, you know, the vintage stuff, what was it? Burger King and Burger Chef had the glasses.
Yes.
And there were posters, stickers, I think, from Burger Chef. Posters, yeah.
Yeah, and, in fact, there were some really nice posters that Burger King, their vintage line posters.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the most stunning Star Wars artwork ever, you know, prior to, who am I thinking of? I'm going to draw a blank.
Yeah, I know which ones you're talking
about. Artists who did a lot of, the imagery was just really cool for something that was kind of a fast food premium and early into that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they really went all out on those.
And also, we were talking earlier about things like the Pepsi cans and stuff like that. There was also the Pringles cans.
Oh, yeah.
With the Boba Fett barbecue and the Princess Leia pizza-flavored Pringles and the... inexplicable Darth Vader lava, charred lava flavor, which was really one of the most disgusting flavors they ever came out with.
I actually have my Pringles cans displayed, and then what I've done is I have the corresponding action figure standing in front of the
that's neat.
The can. Yeah,
I like that.
Try to have a little bit of fun with it.
Well, it makes it more than just, you know, a random food item. And it also makes it obvious there's no Pringles in there anymore, kids. Don't go looking for a snack.
Uh-huh. Don't get your hand stuck in there.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. I like the originality of those because they always put a lot of work on the artwork trying to make it fun.
Yes.
A little strange. I think Luke was like sour cream and chive or something, and his lightsaber was spurting sour cream.
Was it really? I don't remember.
Oh,
that's
so right. Yeah, that is. It's rather frightening.
Yeah,
because I wasn't like the Han Solo salt and vinegar has like a belt on the chip.
Yeah,
like a holster belt. Oh yes, and the Princess Leia pizza, the chip has little pizzas mm-hmm. on either side like her hair do. How lovely.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there's actually another line of Pringles that they put out about a year or so ago. They actually had coupons on the lid for Star Wars Fighter Pods toys.
Oh, nice.
And I actually went on a hunt going to every store I could find trying to track down all the different flavors that had that coupon on the top. Otherwise, there's nothing special about the canister. It looked normal, but it had me driving all over town.
Well, also, you know, that brings up something which I'll get to in a moment, which I wanted to address the potato chip thing, that Sabritos. Speaking of something that would be otherwise normal, the bag of chips that I bought in Mexico was a normal bag of chips, but you know the ends of chip bags and stuff like that are kind of heat sealed, and it had like this sort of ribbon down the middle, this sort of plastic ribbon that was heat sealed onto either end,
It
was otherwise loose, that, you know, had the mention, oh, by the way, there's a Star Wars thing inside, like, oh, we're not going to waste time and money making a whole new run of chip bags. We'll just add a little exterior piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jeffrey Carlton, the author of the Star Wars Super Collector's Wish Book, wound up with my bag. I was very careful and preserved the bag and you know, carrying around like some stupid tourist with an empty potato chip bag. Got back on the ship. Got it home, you know, packed it carefully in the luggage so it would be nice and flat. It's really rather sad once you think about it. But talking about, and of course in telling this, I've forgotten where I was headed, but I will come full circle here, so I'll let Eddie kind of hop in and save my bacon on that.
I'm sorry, on what again?
Oh, I lost my train of thought on where I was going to head after that, that I'm sure it'll come back to me, so I was going to let you kind of hop in, but now that has failed miserably, too.
No. Well, I wanted to jump in because another thing I would always buy is and collect are the cereal boxes. Now, I never got the original C-3POs from, you know, way back in the day, but I started collecting the cereal boxes, I guess, when the whole resurgence of the Star Wars fandom hit in the 90s, and I remember Applejack started offering like different things and Fruit Loops. I remember I got really excited because I went in and saw the Applejack's box, and I remember it having the little Star Wars logo. I can't remember what the front of the box looked like. It's been so long since I've pulled it out of wherever storage I have it in. But I got excited because, you know, turn it over and you can cut out the coupon, send in and get an X-Wing Rogue Squadron comic book that was exclusive to the Applejacks offer. And, of course, one of the main things I love collecting even now are the Star Wars comics. And so that was a big deal for me.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And what was even cooler is they didn't stop there. I remember later on they released – it could have been before the Apple, the comic book offer, but it was also Applejacks, I believe. It's again, it's been years. But it, what was cool about this also was it had the whole back was a one-page – Dark Horse Droids comic strip, basically like a one-page comic book, and I thought that was pretty cool, a pretty cool take on it.
Yeah, I remember getting that and was so happy to have a new Star Wars collectible out. I promptly cut the comic out of the back of the box and saved just the back.
Yes.
Now I wouldn't dream of that. I'd keep the whole box, but
yeah. I think I may still have my box still intact, but I wouldn't have doubted either if I would have just cut the back off and just slipped it into like a magazine size comic bag with a backing board or something.
Absolutely. Well, didn't Wonder Bread or somebody like that have a trading cards at one time?
Oh, wait. That was like way back, I
think. Yeah, back in the old, like in the 70s.
Yeah, that was one of the earliest food promotions. It's a set of
yeasty trading cards.
Gross.
Yeah,
I mean they did. They would reek.
You'd get one in each loaf of bread.
That's right, and they would reek of bread for the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, wow. In the way that top card, or you know, the card at the back of the pack of the Star Wars card, of any trading cards in the 70s and early 80s, would smell of that razor sharp, rock hard gum.
Uh-huh.
For the rest, you know, for years. It was that same sort of effect, you know, where you can still kind of smell old bread on the on some of these things. And I actually recovered my train of thought in the meantime, so we did effectively recapture where I was headed. And that was the speaking of things like the fruit gummies. Very often, what Eddie and I have to give away when I don't have the Angry Birds Star Wars ones are usually Kroger brand. This is a grocery store chain. If you don't have Kroger in your part of the world, and I know that you, Warren, have I want to say maybe bordering on obsessive search for not quite a full hardcore obsession, but maybe
it's pretty close.
Yeah, trying to obtain. Because it seems like there's maybe one manufacturer who just churns out private labeled boxes for every grocery store chain in the world?
Pretty much. Unlike most of the food items out there, you know, like Doritos or cereal or whatnot, the fruit snacks are regionally branded, so you can walk into Kroger and find Kroger Star Wars fruit snacks, or, you know, if you're out in California, you could walk into a Stater Brothers or an IGA or, you know, you name it. There are dozens.
Weren't the Stater Brothers on Hollywood Squares? No, that was the Statler Brothers.
But yeah, there's dozens of different boxes out there. I've kind of lost count right now. I actually have to have a database to keep up with them. There's,
I would imagine,
60 or 70 different variations.
What? Oh my gosh.
Because they started off with like Clone Wars artwork, and then some of them changed to like a New Hope artwork.
Yeah, the ones
right
we're getting have both. It's weird, like one side, and I refuse to put my autograph on the Clone Wars side. It's just a personal thing.
But yeah, they started putting out the different store brands, and then after about a year or so, they started changing the packaging size. It was kind of a combination of price point and, I guess, nutritional information.
They're rather obliged to include that in the labeling.
Yeah, so now that, you know, they kind of wanted healthier snacks, so a bunch of them made smaller pouch sizes, so it'd be like, instead of being 100 calories a pouch, it's like 90 calories a pouch.
we left five gummies out, so now you're
right.
Eat up, suckers!
and then some of them reduce the size. Like if you go to like say Dollar General, their boxes don't have as many pouches in them, so they weigh less, and they only cost like a dollar a box. So, but every time they make a change like that, you know, they have to change the, you know, the weight and everything on the outside of the box.
And then they get you food collectors.
So, yeah, because it's all regional, you end up really having to network with other collectors to track them down.
Yes. So are you like the resource for Kroger and some of these
other... Yeah, that's actually kind of how it works. You pick up extras of what you can get around you and hope that you can find someone who needs them who has stuff that you need.
And there was there were the Angry Birds fruit gummies or something that I found for you at one point. I remember coming across them and...
those were kind of strange.
Immediately contacting you.
They were hard to find. Like,
yeah.
You could usually find them at Walmart, but maybe 1 out of 10 Walmarts might have them. So you really had to do some hunting, and I'm still... I actually have to trade with someone to get one of the ones I'm missing.
Oh, my.
So, because I'd never found it around here.
I wish I'd paid more attention back when they were readily available or seeming. But I kept seeing, like, Finding the Princess Leia one is everywhere.
Yeah, that's the one. You're, like, throwing them in the audience at Alcon one year because you had so many of them. I still have that sitting up on my shelf with all my other stuff.
I was looking around at some stuff earlier, just, you know, general food items, and the Lava Berry Explosion Pop-Tarts.
Oh, my gosh,
have
I had those.
One of the most unique, I was joking earlier about the lava-flavored potato chip, and then sure enough, here's...
I remember getting the Star Wars Pop-Tarts and the Spider-Man Pop-Tarts at one point. I forgot about that. Oh, my gosh. That's wild.
Well, what for yourself as a food premium collector, and that's one of those things that's kind of a unique focus, collectible, which was a term I picked up at Celebration 6, attending different collecting panels, was focus collecting. I never realized how specialized collecting could be until then. But, you know, with that kind of focus, what has, are there any standouts, any things that, you know, like you didn't know something existed and you were hell-bent to find it, or... there was something that, you know, it was all about the chase, or just something that just strikes you as the most unique thing you've ever come across in that genre?
I'm not sure there's any one thing, but it's, as a group, it's just a lot of fun to collect, because originally it was not meant to be collected. It's meant to be consumed and thrown away.
In other words, what's wrong with us?
You know, now you know, like when episode 3 came out, you know, you go to Burger King and it's like, here, collect all 24 premiums. It's like, I have to buy 24 kids' meals to get these. You know, it started off just a few things.
And you have to keep coming back and hoping you catch the right week. And I remember there was a Pizza Hut premium that no Pizza Hut ever seemed to have. They were supposed to be having the little micro machines, the little heads that had the, you know, they came with like one little micro machine figurine, and it would be this, the head of a certain character, and you would crack it open, it would be like a little mini quote unquote play set, because there wasn't a lot of room in there to play around inside somebody's head. But, you know, they were supposed to have ones that were never released in the States as parts of the sets. It seemed like that's how Galoob was unloading these when the market died here. And I never could find a single Pizza who knew what I was talking about. Yet there were advertised, you know, there were like print ads and stuff.
Yeah, I think most of them ended up going to Australia, because they're still tricky to find. I don't have all those.
When speaking of Australian food premiums, it seems like sometimes, why do these, you know, restaurant chains or... food manufacturers seem to hate their home country so much because they're so, and I understand that, you know, part of it is we're trying to get a foothold in a foreign market, but I remember buying some Australian Kentucky Fried Chicken Empire Strikes Back premiums.
Right.
That, for one thing, I was amazed there's Kentucky Fried Chicken in Australia, but... But there was this whole series of fun, like one of the best ones was this Death Star that had this sort of plunger mechanism on one side, and you would crack it open, you'd put these little cardboard TIE fighters in it, They were like little flat things that had an imprint of a TIE fighter, and you would stack them up inside, and it was, you push the little plunger, and it would just shoot TIE fighters out until you emptied the magazine.
And there was that's like kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. And there was, and you know, here, meanwhile here in the States, we got the stupid Yoda Vader mirror box.
Oh, that was pretty cool too. I like that. I like
by comparison to what the Aussies were getting, I was kind of jealous.
they had some neat stuff. I think they had like a little sandcrawler toy and an AT-AT.
Yeah, there was definitely an AT-AT and a little little AT-ST. I've actually got the Australian AT-ST in amongst my I've got a little display of some Empire Strikes Back centric things all together.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, quite okay.
No, when you're talking about Empire Strikes Back premiums, I remember it was Burger King, in fact. I know they did all the classes and all, but it seemed like they did a run of Empire Strikes Back trading cards, or maybe it was New Hope trading cards. Do y'all remember those?
Actually, it was both. Okay.
Maybe that's why I'm remembering both.
It was the same series. They came out for Empire, but they're like half the cards were New Hope and half of them had Empire pictures. They'd come in little strips of three cards and you'd tear them apart.
That was my next question. Is I remember them being like they're perforated and you had to break them apart, you know, pull them apart. So yeah, that's right. I remember picking those up at the Burger King by the Handy Dan over here in Oak Cliff.
The Handy Dan in Oak Cliff.
I think you and I and Vic talked about that one.
Yes, indeed.
I
actually bought a little black and white TV set there once when I was a kid. I have to ask about in the picture of the overall collection, the Welcome to Coruscant. What was that part of?
That's actually from Pizza Hut, from their Phantom Menace line. I don't know if you recall when Phantom Menace came out. Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC all did premiums, and each restaurant was themed by each planet. So, like, Taco Bell was Tatooine, and KFC was Naboo, I guess, in case you want to eat fried Gungan legs or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then Pizza Hut was Coruscant. So that sign would sit in front of the cash register and would, you know, greet you, welcome you to Coruscant. So you could, you know, place your order. Mm-hmm. And Pizza Hut didn't have that many promotions. I mean, they had the cups
to get sort of suckered into all that, where Taco Bell was sort of the kingdom of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least in this country. And also in Japan, go ahead and we'll talk about the fast food place.
Pizza Hut, they did most of their stuff with the actual pizza boxes. Phantom Menace and Special Edition, you had artwork on the boxes.
Yeah, I remember getting a Darth Maul. Exactly, I was about to say. I bet the hard thing is like, can I buy the pizza? You could just put it in my hands and just give me the box.
I think I still have the. Was there a Qui-Gon Jinn pizza box? Because I think I have the Qui-Gon Jinn and R2 and 3PO, I believe. Still
I think
somewhere.
So, yeah, there's, well, every size was like a different character, so there's quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember ordering a pizza one time, getting it in a Darth Maul box. I thought, that's really cool if it didn't like, you know, wasn't covered with grease and wasn't going to smell like a pepperoni.
Because Mr. Jim's did the same thing with Crystal Skull, and I got the Indiana Jones box, and it took forever for that pizza smell to go away.
Speaking of, like, you know, foreign premiums, of course, with so much stuff in the collection, one thing that at least at first pass seems kind of conspicuously absent is the Pepsi bottle caps from Japan.
Ah, I love those.
Which beg the question, why does Pepsi hate us so much?
Yeah, those are so cool. I'd love a set, and I just can't afford to get one yet. I can't find them cheap enough.
Yeah, every now and again, I've picked up maybe 7 or 8 of them at conventions where some guy will have them for, like, you know, these will be $1, this type will be $2, and I'll, you know, pick up the $1 and $2 ones. And sometimes, you know, be like, oh, you know, if you buy a bunch, I'll give you a good deal. You know, let's get a couple of the, you know, $5 ones because they'll give them to me for $3 or something like that. But they're really fascinating. I mean, to me, personally, I like to have a few of them around. But as a premium collector, I can see where you would love to have all of them because there's some ungodly number of them.
Yeah.
There's probably like 200 of them or something. And they made some great, they call them stages. They made one for each movie. And they hold like 60 caps. Like one's like the Geonosian Arena. And I think the other one's like the Senate Chamber.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, some of them are just sort of little stair step things. And some of them are quite elaborate.
Yeah, they're really fantastic. And obviously people pay a premium for them.
And there was also, I believe, Pepsi did a, because they were, did a cooler that was shaped like the droid transport.
Yeah.
It had a little slide out that, you know, it could put like 4 or 6 Pepsi cans in there, and it would sort of slide out like the, like a tray of droids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it came with a battle droid shaped cap.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it would snap onto the cans. That's right. Yeah, I remember seeing that, you know, information about that. Of course, you know, trying to get them in this country, you would pay a fortune, especially back then.
Yeah, they had some cool stuff. Japan's got a lot of really neat food premiums. I want to say last year they did some cup toppers that would come with Nissin ramen noodle soup.
Oh, wow.
There's one shaped like Darth Maul and another like Yoda, and it would sit on the edge of your cup. So you could be eating noodles while Darth Maul stares you down.
Yeah, I guess looking hungrily at your delicious noodles there.
Gross.
Wishing he had some. And I have to ask you about, there's one non-food premium that I particularly love because I think it was just clever as all get out. And that was, I believe, from Celebration 5. They very cleverly did a series of, if you attended the collecting panels, I think even from Celebration 1 or was it 2 where they started having like some kind of something to give you at collecting panels. Like I think the very first year was just simple trading cards that were specific to each panel. And then they stepped up the game in a huge way over the years and had like coins. And when I went to Celebration 6, they had the Star Tots. But for Celebration 5, if I'm not mistaken, it was the cereal boxes.
Yes, they did a whole line of them. Let's see, I'm looking at my set on the shelf next to me.
Lucky. 16 different boxes.
Yeah, 16 boxes. Gus Lopez, who puts on many of the collecting panels of the Celebrations, he is a... His focus is Star Wars cereal.
Okay, so that makes even
cereal
more
boxes,
sense.
You know, vintage, foreign countries, you know, you name it. And so I think that's the inspiration for these. And they took basically normal cereal boxes like Cheerios or Fruit Loops, and they changed them into Star Wars names. So instead of like Cheerios, you had Greedos.
And some of them were brilliant. Some of them were kind of like, you know, it's a bit of a stretch. Lucky Arms was a bit of a stretch to, you had to kind of really think that one through, being like all of the various limbs lopped off by lightsabers in the saga.
Oh, wow.
And then a nod to the old Droids cartoon with Vlix cereal instead of Trix.
Yeah, that one was actually, I kind of like that. It's nice to have something Vlix in my collection finally.
So true. There are so few affordable or even obtainable Vlix collectibles. But some of the ones I loved were like Raisin Han. And instead of having like the little Raisin Bran son, it has two sons.
What's cool about that one is the Raisin Han, if you put it next to the Greedos one, he's the blaster fire actually carries from one box into
yes.
the next.
Oh,
that was a
genius.
Brilliant touch there. And my other favorite one I would love to own, in fact, thanks to Warren, I actually now have Greedo's cereal box in my collection, as well as the, I believe it was the, not, oh, was it the Padme one?
Oh, Padme berries or something?
It was like Navieri or
Franken-Navieri,
yeah, that's right. It's a play on her last name. I would love to get a Raisin Han, of course, to display with the Greedo cereal. And the Grape Huts is another of my all-time favorites. And what's neat is, you know, they also paid tribute to, like, the Droids animated series, but they also paid tribute to the Clone Wars with Cap'n Rex. As the mm-hmm. Captain Crunch box.
One Eddie might like is actually an Indiana Jones tribute.
Oh, yeah?
They took a classic Cookie Crisp. I believe it's Cookie Crisp.
Yeah.
Cereal box, and they made it Wookie Crisp. And I'm not familiar with the box, but I guess. It may have been like a foreign box where instead of having, you know, like the cookie crook and all that, it had a big cookie jar, and cookies coming out of it. Well, they made this one Wookie Crisp, so there's a Wookie head, and it's like you're eating chilled Wookie brains.
Yeah, it's like the Wookie Crisp was inside the head of the Wookie there, and you've got the little...
So they pulled a Temple of Doom on us.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is these were all... the boxes themselves are the size of the little individual, they call them fun size, but, you know, the little individual serving.
Oh, so when you, the ones you never got as a kid because they were so dang expensive.
Exactly, the ones that come in like the
9-pack.
Yeah, the kind that I serve at my morning show. and so, you know, they're nice and compact, you know, even if you just own a few of them like I do. The neat thing is there was also, I know Warren has the box that you could put all your boxes in to display them all.
Right.
That they were giving away probably at the end of the weekend.
And oh, they weren't giving them away.
They weren't giving them away. That's right. Yeah, because they were so true. But, yeah, the neat thing was there all but one of them are actually plays on actual cereals.
Yeah.
Except for one, which brilliantly is a acknowledgement beyond belief of the Robot Chicken Star Wars Admiral Ackbar cereal with the actual art from Robot Chicken used for the box.
Yeah, that one's great.
So your little box of Admiral Ackbar cereal, if you're fortunate enough to have one, and there's one on eBay that I'm trying to decide if I want to spend that kind of money for it. And they're getting darn close to getting me to do it. But it's the actual same art as the prop in Robot Chicken. So I thought that was absolutely brilliant. And,
that's got to be one of my favorite food items. And it took a group effort to get our set. My friend Kevin and my girlfriend Erica and I, we at the end of each panel, we'd all pick out, you know, get our cereal, and then when it was all done at the end of the celebration, they had all the leftovers that they were giving away, and they do it in a buffet line style where
they did the same with the
box. And so we'd each, you know, plot together which ones we were going to pick up to complete our set, and then when we were done, I think we were down to missing like two boxes, and by the time we got back to the hotel, we'd managed to trade for the ones we needed.
That's rather how I was doing with the Star Tots, because I decided, you know, I couldn't attend all the panels. I wasn't going to be able to be there when they did the leftovers buffet, because we had to be at the airport a little earlier than most. And but I would, Catherine attended several of the panels with me, so I wound up with like extras. And I decided just to concentrate on the Cantina creatures, and we took the rest around and just traded them with people throughout the weekend. But that one's kind of unique. Did they have cereal in them at all, or were they just simply empty boxes?
No, they actually did have cereal in them. I think it was all basically Cheerios or generic Cheerio-like cereal.
Because I thought I had seen pictures of people, you know, having to stuff these boxes. The boxes themselves were all custom made, and they literally have to have huge groups of volunteers. Like, I've seen pictures of the groups putting together the Star Tots. They actually, you know, the packaging was separate from the pieces from their various factories.
Mm-hmm.
Had to sit there and put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these together. So it's really amazing, kind of collaborative effort from fandom as well. Are there any pieces that you had to just absolutely go out of your way to obtain, or has it just been more networking with international collectors?
Well, networking definitely comes into play with modern stuff. Got a friend, Buzz, in New Zealand, who's been gracious enough to send me some different food items, and he actually just sent me a chocolate advent calendar that you can only get in New Zealand.
Oh, neat.
But a lot of the stuff, especially the vintage stuff, is just hard to find, so you either have to buy it from another collector or just luck out and find it on eBay at a price you'd like. And I had to do that with these yogurt cups from England that came out in 1983. Yeah. They're, you know, your typical plastic yogurt cup, but they have character artwork on them. There's like a Luke or Vader, Jabba, and on the back it actually has like a scene and like a little description or quote from the movie. And you can imagine how fragile yogurt cups are.
Oh, yes.
And then
that kind of plastic being that old.
Yeah, so then having to find one, you know, that's 30-plus years old, and probably get it, you know, at some point it had to come from England all the way here. So I'm still working on a set of those. And they can be tricky to get. Surprisingly, or I guess not surprisingly, last year several of them came up on eBay that still had the foil lids partially attached.
Wow.
And the lids actually have Star Wars logos on them too, which is what makes them so cool.
So somebody was very thoughtful in how they preserved their...
Right. So I was very lucky to be the winning bidder on that for several days for maybe about $50. And then the last day they promptly sold for like well over $500.
Oh, wow.
To one of the hardcore collectors.
Yeah, at that point you're willing to say, okay, yeah, you got me, because
yeah.
I was never going to, you know, as an avid bidder myself on things for my collection, there are times where it's like, okay, yeah, you went well beyond anything I would have dreamt of paying for that. So, enjoy.
Good night. Now, Warren, one thing I got a kick out of seeing the pictures of your food collection, I really got a kick out of this because I had these. I remember I bought these when they first hit the shelves, and that was the Pepperidge Farm cookie box cookies.
Oh, I remember those. I remember buying and eating them myself.
Too. Yes, yes. And I had forgotten about them for years until I spotted them in your photo collection there, and I thought, oh my gosh, I remember those so distinctly. I remember as getting them and just really obsessing over the detail that they put into these cookies and the fact that they have the names of the characters as part of the cookie design.
Well, naturally, you know why they had those.
Why is that?
Because Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Oh, wow! Throwback king over here. Oh. Good
Didn't
night.
They have, I mean, there was like a chocolate cookie and then kind of just a, I don't know, shortbread or something like that?
Peanut butter and vanilla.
Oh, peanut butter and vanilla. Uh-huh. Did they have a chocolate chip one? Am I remembering correctly? Because I seem to remember seeing some pictures of ones that looked like they were moldy.
Oh, they were probably moldy.
That was probably some of the vanilla ones that had not aged so well.
Okay, because I thought that, you know, it seemed like there was somebody had made these cookies at one point. They were supposed to be like, you know, quote-unquote chocolate chip, and it was more like they had, like, put something in the batter to make them sort of spotty, and it just didn't translate well into the finished product. But, yeah, it may have just been somebody's picture of their moldy cookies.
It could be. I love how the Chewbacca cookie is very reminiscent of the Bigfoot from Six Million Dollar Man.
Oh yeah, it is.
Well, it's like the Andre the Giant Bigfoot with a bandolier.
Yeah.
That way they could just, you know, fill in some of the tooling in case they ever did a $6 million man cookie line. And what's neat is, like, these things were not only, you know, had these little imprinted shapes of the different characters, but they also were embossed with the name of them, almost like coins. Because you had the name, like, Gamorrean Guard in relief, you know. Where, like, with your traditional animal cracker, you pretty much have to know what animal it is, and sometimes no one can tell. I mean, you go ask zoologists, and they have no clue what the hell it's supposed to be.
Yeah, these cookies looked really great. I don't think I ever had them as a kid. I remember eating the C-3PO cereal, but yeah, I got these boxes recently, but the cookies looked great.
Yeah,
and they had obscure characters like, you know, the Gamorrean Guard, and I think Bib Fortuna, and a Royal Guard, and stuff.
Yeah, they had, like, Royal Guard, and Ewok, or had Wicket. And, and also, funny you should mention C-3PO cereal, because I did not want this show to get by without talking about Gus Lopez. There was an invitational, could get tickets to attend a party at Celebration 6. There's like a collector's party. And I was given some tickets by someone who couldn't make it to attend on their behalf. And one of the things they were doing at this collecting party was, if you're willing to sign a release that a lawyer friend of Gus Lopez's had put together for him, you could get in on a contest to eat a bowl of 27-year-old C-3PO cereal, or 37-year-old, whatever it was. I guess at that point it was close to 30-year-old box of cereal. They had actually had, apparently, for the last couple of years at this party, had been bringing in a couple of unopened boxes of C-3PO cereal, opening them up and seeing who, you know, having a contest so you could eat a whole bowl of this ancient cereal the quickest. And they actually, I was tempted, but I thought, you know, I have some responsibilities this weekend. There's some things I really want to do. But
you have your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah, there was that too. So apparently C-3PO cereal, decades later, is every bit as bad as it was when it was new.
Oh my gosh. I'll tell you what cereal was really good was the, I think, even though I don't think they were branded Episode 3, I think they came out during Episode 3, because I remember I still have the boxes somewhere folded flat. And the one box had Yoda, I think the other box had Vader. And that was actually a pretty good cereal. I remember.
Actually, was it just like the Star Wars cereal or something like that?
Yeah, Star Wars cereal. It was actually released.
They just simply called Star Wars cereal. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it was for Episode 3, because I know Episode 2 had its own distinct cereal boxes. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right on both counts.
But, yeah, those were pretty, that was actually pretty good cereal. You know, usually it's just like your typical sugariness, but.
Yeah, I remember trying to save the little freeze-dried marshmallow clone trooper helmets and stuff. I threw a handful of them in a little card case and figured, hey, they're freeze-dried. And you know, after about 2 years, they'd kind of shriveled up and turned into powder.
I tried doing the same thing. It's like, no go.
Yeah, you would think that would be like a Twinkie, you know, it would live forever.
Uh-huh.
In fact, funny, I was over helping Jeffrey Carlton one time, because I can, you know, it's fun to drop some Star Wars luminary names.
Mm-hmm.
But Warren and I get to go hang out and play toys a lot and trade stuff with Jeffrey. And we were getting some stuff out of boxes to photograph or something, and he had found recently in a drawer or something a box of, I don't know if it was domestic, or I think it may have been a British Star Wars candy. And it was, yeah, it was basically these.
I know where you're going with this, because I've seen it.
Yeah, I actually have the box hanging on the wall in my studio, but we pull the box out, and it's supposed to be like there's this graphic of Vader and Ben dueling, and they're cut out of the graphic because what would have been under that window was like cellophane, and then underneath would have been chocolates in Vader and Ben shapes. And I think inside the tray has room for a few other little Star Wars chocolates. And so we pull the thing out, we're looking at it, and realizing there are no longer embossed Vader or Ben-shaped chocolates in there anymore. There's just Vader and Ben-shaped trays full of powder. And this stuff had turned into like mummy dust. This was
it was like the scene in Raiders when they open up the Ark and Belloc puts his hand down and pulls out nothing but sand.
Yeah, we took a big handful of this chocolate and let it sort of sift through our fingers. But it was a good object lesson about, and this is one of those things, you know, that I really wanted to mention before we wrap up. Is there are certain aspects of food collecting where it's really just about maintaining the packaging.
Oh, absolutely. That's pretty much the number one rule of food collecting is you can't save the food.
Short of just like, you know, coating it in shellac.
Yeah,
I've
heard of people trying to do that to the Pepperidge Farm cookies.
That's exactly where I was headed.
And I suspect if you did that in the 80s, they might have held up. I've seen pictures of the cookies now that haven't been shellacked, and they tend to, they look powdery, like they've gotten fuzzy, not really moldy, but just
yeah,
like,
it's almost like they've, like you've taken a photograph, but it's a fuzzy photograph, except that it's
yeah,
not.
they've broken down, so the detail isn't there, so I don't think you could, you know, preserve them now. I'd love to try, but I'd have to get my hands on a unopened box first.
Yeah, I'd be afraid that if you got a hold of an unopened box of anything other than apparently C-3PO cereal, which will last forever, if the boxes at Celebration 6 a couple of years ago are any indication, you pretty much, you may as well just forget it. These things will, I mean, this is organic material, and it's destined to break down, you know.
Yeah, when it comes to, you know, most grain things, your cereals, chips, cookies, you really just want to get rid of it because it's going to potentially attract bugs and pests. Candy is going to break down and get goopy. Like, I've got a box of the candy canes, which
Candy canes have that weird way of decomposing.
Yeah, I need to get rid of the candy from the candy canes before they just have a box of goop.
Yeah.
Because that will be worse to clean up then.
And I guess there's some things that you will just, there's no way to preserve, like those weird marshmallow things. Those like,
yeah,
they're supposed to be like a lollipop, but they're made of some bizarre marshmallow material.
Yeah, those won't last in the long run. I've got a few of those too, and I've taken some good pictures. But I know, you know, they're going to be gone after a few more years, probably.
Yeah, this sort of green Yoda dust.
So, of course, anything perishable, you know, your ice cream or yogurt or whatnot, you don't want to attempt to save anything like that. Even soda, you would think, like, oh, you know, a bottle of soda or something is okay. But, you know, after going through 24 different cases of Pepsi for the Phantom Menace line. I had some that I couldn't drink it, like the calorie-free one or the diet one. I just can't stomach it. So the stuff sat, you know, in my apartment forever.
Yeah.
And finally one of the cans ruptured and started to leak.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the things things like shampoos. I was very fortunate that I had a Yoda shampoo bottle that did not rupture after 30 years, but I was advised very strongly that I needed to dump that out before it did.
Yeah. But soda or anything under pressure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's not a good combination. And then the soda will actually separate into water and syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I learned the hard way with the Pepsi cans that if you didn't drain them, that the Pepsi would eat right through the cans.
Yeah, because that is an acidic product, yeah. And it will eventually.
Yeah.
It turns into like alien blood after a while.
Basically, yeah. It does.
But also, as a food collector, one final question I had for you: Do you personally collect things like the cookie cutters or you know, things to make Star Wars shaped pancakes or what have you?
Yeah, we've got a few in our collection. I don't specifically go after it, but we do have the pancake mold set, and I've got one of the new Wilton Darth Vader cake pans.
The Wilton. I couldn't remember the name of that. But.
Yeah, I'd love to get the old cake pans. Those were great.
Yeah, because unlike the Pepperidge Farm cookies, the dye is not, you know, deep enough. When you pull the cake out, it's shaped like you just have this sort of vague shape, and then it's up to you to decorate it to make it look like Leia again. You know, right. If you look at the imprint in the pan, that looks a lot like Leia. You get the cake out, it looks like a big shape.
Yeah.
And it is.
It's not even like her silhouette.
Yeah, it's just this amorphous shape. So, before we close out, I do want to point out, I was kind of poking around looking at different food collectibles, and Eddie often mentions how he and Vic had the little Star Wars necklaces.
Uh-huh.
Apparently at one time, I had forgotten about this, but Nestle Crunch had a mail-away where you could get those necklaces for free.
Huh.
This was back in the 70s and 80s that you did this?
Would have been about the 70s, I think. I remember.
Wow.
I didn't particularly care for Nestle Crunch myself, so.
Oh, wow.
And I already had the C-3PO and R2 necklaces.
Yeah, of course. And they did something equally as cool, and I didn't get the set, but Warren, I'm wondering if you did, and that was when the General Mills, and when they did the Star Wars pins here recently, I had a friend give me the Chewbacca pin.
I don't have a full set, but I did pick up, I mainly went after the packaging.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew I could probably track down the pens later.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like those lightsaber spoons and other things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, those are pretty cool.
I thought so. Even though they all look like they're on their tippy toes. But it's a cool thing to have. But I also think that we would be remiss in not bringing up one of the biggest, most legendary when it comes to any kind of food or beverage tie-in to the Star Wars saga. We cannot close out this episode until we bring up the Billy Dee Williams approved Colt 45.
Oh, of course, yeah, the Lando Colt 45.
Yeah. No Star Wars, if you're a Star Wars food collector, no collection would be complete without something that with Billy Dee Williams' mug attached to the Colt 45 logo somehow.
But I did honestly think one of the things that we should mention as well, as far as food company premiums, the life-size Episode 1 figurines that were made for grocery stores and Walmarts and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Are a pretty remarkable testament to how all in PepsiCo went.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they had a life-size Darth Maul with lightsaber, which was mostly styrofoam.
Really? Oh, yeah, that makes sense, but I never saw that one anywhere.
And then they had, I think, a Jar Jar.
They had a Jar Jar, which you saw everywhere, and they had a Watto, which is actually one of the coolest ones because the Watto was they were all life-size, but the Watto was unique in that because he was small and flies, it had this really cool display stand that they shipped him with. Mm-hmm. So it was like a big flat square base with a squarish bar going up and then coming out at an angle that the Watto was just sort of shoved into, so it sort of could then, I guess, hover above the display of Pepsi's.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that one in a store, but it's really cool.
Yeah, I've actually only ever seen the Watto and the Maul in the collector's market. I actually, a couple of different conventions, I saw people trying to sell the Watto's, but I saw the stupid Jar Jar everywhere.
I was tempted to get the Jar Jar the very first time, and this was back in 2002 when I had my very first table in Artist Alley. The people set up across from me, they were from Louisiana, and they had hauled with them that Jar Jar Binks that y'all are talking about. And by the end of the weekend, they were so desperate to get rid of him, they dropped the price. I think originally they were asking maybe $400 or $500 for him, but at the end of the weekend, they were asking like only $100 or something. I was really tempted to buy it just because, but it could have been $100, $150, but it was just like, it's still Jar Jar. I would probably regret
You'd be embarrassed to say you spent $100 on anything to do with Jar Jar, regardless of the size and vintage.
Unless it was the Jar Jar sucker where you had to suck on his candy tongue.
Oh, yes, we have to bring that one up. Of course, you have the Soul-Kissed Jar Jar lollipop.
We bring that up whenever we can.
That's right. When you're pulling tongue with Jar Jar, you know you're getting delicious candy satisfaction.
Gross.
So with that grim note, Warren, thank you very much for joining us. We have wanted to do this particular episode for a long time, and we're very happy for this to be our Thanksgiving week episode. So as you prepare to go stuff yourself with all kinds of holiday goodies in a few days, harken back to a long time ago when you used to stuff yourself with Pepperidge Farm cookies or a pizza out of a Darth Maul box, or or if you're across the pond, your yogurt, which is not very stuff, you know, not as filling, but there you go.
Or you could catch your little brick Pez candies out of your Star Wars dispensers and flick them at, you know, relatives that have fallen asleep after eating too much turkey to wake them up.
There you go, because you can still get Star Wars Pez to this day, so you're not going to have a hard time finding that. And again, Warren, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Catch Eddie and I next Sunday, over at Deep Ellum on Air on the Rancor Pit Live, where we will be live streaming from Dallas from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And, of course, you can always find the archives there on their website, as well as on the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCUmail@yahoo.com. You can find us on the Twitter at the Jedi Cole U. We now have a committed YouTube channel for the Jedi Cole Universe. And I'm sure there's something else that I'm forgetting. And as always, speaking of conventions earlier, if you are keen on conventions in Texas, check out Convention Awareness Project Texas at the new, simpler web address, www.cap-tx.info. And we'll be back on this pre-recorded show in 2 weeks with more simple tricks and nonsense. Thank you.